it on? Would you please stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This morning, we have a couple of presentations, and our CEO will start. Rick, it's up to you.
Yes, thank you very much. It is both with considerable excitement and also a feeling of loss that I start these presentations today. We have two longtime county employees who have chosen a different route for the balance of their life than working for Stanislaus County. Pat Sweeney and George Stillman have indicated to us their intent to retire, leave county service, and as someone else said earlier today, we're not really losing a county employee, we're gaining a county alumnus. So we're happy to keep them in the family. First, we're going to start recognition for Pat Sweeney, but also indicate to you that we have Assembly Members Pashigian and Cogdale, Congressman Cardoza and Senator Denham's office represented today. When I complete my comments, I'll ask Pat first and then following her presentations and my introduction of George, ask George to come up so that our esteemed leaders can provide proclamations and recognition to these two very deserving individuals. First, Pat Sweeney. Today it's my honor to recognize Pat Sweeney, Deputy Executive Officer in the Chief Executive Office, for her dedicated, committed, loyal, compassionate, and outstanding leadership to the Stanislaus County organization and the community we serve. Pat is retiring after nearly 29 years serving Stanislaus County. A graduate of Downey High School in Modesto and the University of California, Davis, Pat is about to become a distinguished alumni of the Stanislaus County leadership team. Pat began her career with the county in the personnel department in October of 1997 as a personnel technician and was promoted many times to ultimately become, in December 2000, the deputy executive officer in the chief executive office, leading our human resources programs. Pat is recognized locally and throughout the state for her focus on effective human resources and is an expert in her field. She has demonstrated a strong and dedicated commitment to fairness, access, and diversity. Pat is respected by her colleagues and has been recognized by many for her excellence in public service. Pat is trusted, respected, and appreciated by all of us. She's championed the need for focused and effective human resources management at all levels of our organization. She has a great sense of humor and has developed powerful working relationships and many friendships throughout the organization and the community. Earlier this year, Pat's husband, Gordon, retired from the Stanislaus County Agricultural Commissioner's Office. We want to congratulate Pat and Gordon on their new lives as retirees. Pat, someone once said that life begins at retirement. On behalf of the entire Chief Executive Office, we want to thank you for your years with us. We'll miss you in our daily presence, but we are better because of you. We wish you and Gordon a lifetime of happiness. If Pat will come forward. And I'll let you decide on the order.
It's a great honor for me to come here today on behalf of Congressman Cardoza for the amount of time I know Pat has spent helping and giving so much to the county, but on a personal note, thank you for all that you do for all the people that are in your life. This is a great moment for your family. I know you're very excited about it, but you know, kind of nervous the county's going to be without you, and I don't know if people are prepared for that. So on behalf of Congressman Dennis Cardoza, I want to congratulate you on your tremendous years of service with the county, and thank you and wish you well in your retirement. On behalf of Senator Denham, it's an honor to present you with this certificate. As I understand from everyone I've met, you're going to be greatly missed here, and I wish you the best of luck in all you're going to do. And Senator Denham, thank you.
On behalf of Senator Petrygan and Assemblyman Cosdell, we'd like to present this certificate to you in honor of your service to Stanislaus County and best wishes on your retirement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Pat, if you'll take your place around and back by our Stanislaus County logo.
Well, Pat, it's that time, isn't it? You know, I don't know why we always do this. We're going to give you a bunch of plaques here, and we have a resolution here for you. I'm not going to read it all, okay, because you've probably read 25 or 30 of them already. All right. But it's one thing about when the people retire around here, we always give them a clock. Why? There's no more time to punch in. There's nothing to punch in. Your time's your own now.
Yeah.
And I wish you and your husband the best of time from now on. And you probably deserve it by now.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I say a few words?
Certainly. I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank everybody. It's been a wonderful career here. I have had just every moment along the way, it's been a wonderful time. It's always great to be able to say that you enjoy getting up every day. And I hope that people have that in their lives, that it's really a good thing to get up and go to work. It's a fun thing. And I am going a little young in life, but there are other things to do, and hopefully I'll be able to contribute in a substantial way as I go on to the next chapter in my life. I want to thank all the board members. They've been wonderful over the years, and I just wish you the best of luck, and it's been my privilege to serve. Thank you.
So, Pat, on behalf of the board, we do the resolution. And I do have a clock for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. On behalf of the board and all the people you worked with all these years, here's a clock. Okay? Sure you can. Well, I want to make sure everybody knew you got a clock. Okay.
Thank you.
George, don't plan on it.
As those of you who know Pat well will understand, Pat does things in a big way. And when we were trying to decide what exactly to present to her this morning, not only did she come up with the clock, but she came up with the very largest clock she could find. And so I'm sure this will find a place of honor in her home. And just remind me next time not to let Pat pick out our clocks. In May of 1995, George Stillman was appointed Stanislaus County Director of Public Works, Road Commissioner, and Surveyor. Since that time, Stanislaus County has both enjoyed and benefited from the leadership and vision George has brought to his position. George is a person who would never say no when asked to take on a new challenge. His attitude was always positive, and his goal has been to improve the quality of life for those persons living in Stanislaus County. And now, after almost 11 and a half years of outstanding community service, George has announced his retirement to be effective on January 5th, 2007. When George arrived in the county, he brought with him a wealth of knowledge and experience. George obtained his Bachelor of Science degree in engineering from the University of California at Los Angeles in 1971 and his Master of Science degree in 1972. Upon his graduation in 1972, George accepted a position as a highway engineer with Kern County, and in 1976 accepted an engineering position in the Kern County Public Works Department. In 1981, he joined the Department of Environmental Science in Multnomah County, Oregon, accepting the appointment as the county's assistant county engineer. George joined Clark County, Washington in 1982 as the county engineer, and in 1985 was promoted to the position of director of Clark County's Department of Public Works. In 1988, he was once again promoted to the director of public services in Clark County, Washington. George joined the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1993 as the city engineer, and in 1994 was promoted to the director of the Department of Planning, Economic Development, and Engineering. He served in this capacity until joining Stanislaus County. George retires from Stanislaus County with more than 11 years of service. His career in public service spans 34 years. He's respected for his leadership and his knowledge throughout the state, has served with dedication and determination, and is the model of the can-do leader. We will miss that spirit in this organization. George, we congratulate you on your retirement and wish you the very, very best of luck in your future.
George, it's an honor today to recognize you on behalf of Congressman Cardoza. For as many years as I worked for the 18th Congressional District, I think there were some years that people thought you were staff for the Congressional District because a phone call would come to the office looking for George Stillman on the projects and the flooding and all the stuff we've been through. So I don't know if our projects were always ones brought out of fun and greatness. It was always after tragedy and devastation that we had to get together and work on stuff. And your work with Horace Timber Creek is legendary. Dee Dee Diadama wishes she could be here today to recognize you for your service because you've done an outstanding job. You've made a difference for our community. Whether people realize at this point or not, they will in the future, and it's because of George Stillman. So thank you very much for your service.
Hello, you guys. I'm like, hi. So, hi. I'm with Senator Denham's office again. And it is an honor to meet you with this certificate. Sorry, this is the first time to meet you on your way out the door, but maybe I'll hang around till January. So, very nice to meet you. Okay. Okay, yes. Yeah. Thank you for your dedicated service. I have lost count. Thank you.
On behalf of Senator Pachigian and Assemblyman Cogdell, we'd like to thank you for your service to Stanislaus County and best wishes in your retirement. Congratulations.
Come on up here, George. George, I have a resolution for you. You know what it really is now. No more stop signs. No more turning lanes. None of these things that we talked about over the years. It's been a pleasure to work for you. The whole board appreciates what you've done. And I know I surely do. With that, if you ever close to me, I'm going to take a picture. Okay. All right. Okay, George, but I also have a clock for you. Okay. Huh? You bet. With that, you want to carry it off, you want to leave it here. Okay. With that, George, here, say goodbye to all these people.
Oh, gosh, it's really mixed feelings, especially my staff. I really would like to thank it. Some folks are wearing ties that I didn't know even owned ties. But it's been, we could do nothing without the staff to support it. I mean, we have a great staff, and staff will do great things. I've said that before, haven't I? The board, I'd like to thank you. again, we can do nothing without your support. Your support has been fantastic in moving the community forward. And really, I can just only do what I'm allowed to do, and the board had confidence in staff, and I think staff has done good things.
Thank you, Joe. Just about the time we're getting on the permit process, what's going to happen to that now? Somebody in this room better tell me, because we've taken the gigantic steps to make these permits a lot faster and everybody happier, so that if we don't have any complaints, what we have a contented county, okay? So it's going to move on, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Again, thank you. Hugging. Okay, with that, we'll go to the, is there any public comment period this morning? Is anyone wishing to speak? Okay, seeing no one, we'll go down to the consent calendar. We have to pull C7, right?
Yeah, I have a conflict there. I'll need to step out.
Okay. Then I need a motion, one way or the other, from the other.
I'll move approval of the balance of the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Now we'll vote on C7.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Okay, it's moved to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. Thank you. With that, we'll go down to B8. Keith Boggs and Ron Freitas are going to fill us in on the Groves Landing Air Station.
Good morning. Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive Economic Development. Joining me this morning are Ron Freitas, Director of Planning and Community Development, and his Deputy Director, Mr. Kirk Ford. Also in attendance this morning are members of our internal planning team, the members of the Crows Landing Steering Committee, a committee that Supervisor DeMartini chairs, and representatives from ESA Airports, our environmental consultant. We're here this morning to discuss with you developments to date at the Crows Landing project area. This is an action item. We have three recommendations for your consideration this morning. These are, number one, first, a recommendation to approve a reuse scenario for the Crows Landing Air Facility. And we'll share all three of these reuse scenarios, including recommendations from your Crows Landing Steering Committee momentarily. Number two, consistent with that recommendation, we'll ask for your authorization to issue a request for proposal, an RFP, for master developer selection and development partnership. And Mr. Ford will speak to a recommended two-phase RFP approach. And then number three, finally, we will ask that you provide authorization to suspend our current planning and environmental work contract with ESA Airports pending the outcome of a master developer RFP process. These recommendations obviously are interconnected to one another. Before I turn it over to my colleagues to discuss reuse and recommendation, I'd like to speak briefly, however, in an information-only capacity to several ongoing developments that are relative to this morning's presentation. County, STANCOG, and Alliance staff have been meeting informally with several regional public entities over the past 90 days or so, exploring potential infrastructure partnerships that may be feasible should the anticipated infrastructure bond, that $19.925 billion anticipated, be approved by California voters in November. The agencies involved in this discussion include STANCOG, the San Joaquin COG, Stanislaus County staff, Alameda Congestion Mitigation Agency, the San Joaquin Regional Rail Commission, which includes the Altamont Commuter Express ACE, the Port of Oakland and ports of Stockton and others. The California Transportation Commission, CTC, has encouraged regional joint applications should this bond initiative pass. And these participants continue to discuss opportunities for a formal joint application. If this be the case, staff will come back to your board post-election with a recommendation to participate in either a memorandum of understanding or letter of intent, whichever vehicle comes forward, with these public entities as an application process formalizes. Over these past 6 months, the development team has met with members of the Crow's Landing community in March, held a community town hall meeting in Patterson in July 10th, and continue to host quarterly meetings with the board-appointed Crow's Landing Steering Committee. The process continues to be very open and very inclusive. All backgrounds, research, timelines as they modify, and relative content are posted on a regular basis to the development website at crowsbizpark.biz. Today is somewhat of a red-letter day for this development project as we continue to further articulate the what and the how-to components of this job creation endeavor. With that said, I'll turn the presentation over. I believe we'll go first with Mr. Freitas. Ron will speak to the three reuse scenarios, sharing the rationale behind each, including the steering committee recommendation forward. This of three in
That will go to the first concept proposal, which is to utilize the existing runway configuration and this with expansion of that runway. You'll note that off the ends of the runways, Keith, I wonder if you could point with your mouse.
Sure.
You'll see that territories off the ends of the northwest southeast runway, and in that area, that was some additional land that would be needed to accommodate large freight type movement. The development one, or this first, is the based on full build out would yield 464 acres for development. This concept of the three concepts has the lowest yield on site for the industrial business park area. However, a rail facility could be accommodated up in the northwestern portion of the site of about 70 acres. And for that expansion area that I spoke of earlier, 335 acres may be needed for full build-out for the runway extensions. And when we say full build-out, one of the things that we're looking at is that long, those long runways, but we still have 7,000 feet of runway on the short runway, 8,000 feet of runway on the long runway. So those are still usable runway lengths that could be utilized. The second development scenario presents potential land uses based on the full build-out of runway 1634, and it eliminates the northwest-southeast runway and constructs two parallel, an additional runway to the north-south runway. So we would still have the advantage of two runways. One of the things that we found in going and looking and researching this issue was two runways have a very distinct advantage over one runway. You can shut one down for maintenance, you can shut one down for whatever particular reason, and you still have those two runways operating. This configuration over the previous one also has the two runways parallel to each other, which means they do not cross. In the original scenario, they cross, which causes some consternation and could cause some problems at a later time. This concept provides approximately for 13 more acres of development area than concept one, with 477 available acres. Some of the additional right-of-way or area needed, there'd be about 79 acres for full build-out, and there is no room for a railway or intermodal type service based on this build-out scenario. And the parcels, although there's some good-sized parcels, they're not as attractive as we'll find those that are in the third concept. And this scenario provides for the elimination of the north-south runway and utilizes the northwest-southeast runways. This development scenario provides the greatest yield of developable acres, 818, and in greater size parcels. It also provides the best opportunity to attract and accommodate an intermodal facility. There is a requirement that at full build-out, a potential for the need of 452 acres for runway extensions and clear areas and additional rail. However, the huge trade-off is in the amount of developable land, and that developable land is located in a configuration so that we have large parcels. You'll note that area to the north that's in the teal color is very large and has very a number of options as how that property could be developed and utilized. Also, if you look to the south, the teal area on the south end of the runway area is right adjacent to Crow's Landing Road. There would be no restrictions with respect to flyover area for that area along Crow's Landing Road and the Delta Mendota Canal. So, and those parcels are in good size shape with instant access to Fink Road. Those on the north end would have instant access to Marshall Road Davis Road, which runs north and south on the west side of the property, would somehow have to be configured or turned into a cul-de-sac on both ends, but that would work in order to provide good circulation. There's you could envision Loop Road coming up, paralleling the runways to the northwest, and then back over to Davis Road. Your committee that you have appointed unanimously recommended that this be the option or the concept that we follow, and that's based on the yield, the highest yield. It's also based on the suitability of those parcels and the ability to utilize one runway, which is 7,000 feet long, which if you look in contrast is about the same length as Modesto's runway here in town at the airport out on Mitchell Road. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kurt to give you more information with respect to the RFP process.
Okay. Our next step basically is to get the private industry and the market involved in our process at this point. We've been doing this as a steering committee. We've been doing this as an internal development team. We have reached out into different private development interests, having them come visit the steering committee. But now it's time to get real on this and see what people really think about developing this piece of property. So our idea is to put together a request for proposals for a master developer. And with that request, we're looking at a two-phase approach. The first one being, pardon the pun, but a very high elevation conceptual standpoint. The second, getting much more serious and expecting the master developer to spend a lot more time and effort involved in that second phase. First, we'd like them, in this first phase, though, we would like them to provide us with a conceptual plan for the development of the property that's consistent with the land uses of whatever scenario the board chooses today, and consistent with those guidelines and principles that both the board and the steering committee came up with. We're looking for a conceptual development plan for water, wastewater, roads, interchange improvements, storm drainage, utilities, conceptual building plans, etc. We're also going to ask them to detail how they anticipate, a master developer would anticipate their needs in regards to ownership of the property. Is a lease appropriate? Would purchase be better? Long-term rent, whatever they envision. We then would make, you then would make a decision much later on in the process. We'd ask them to detail how they anticipate the acquisition of various entitlements. We're moving forward with a program right now of the county doing a general plan amendment and a rezone of the property itself. Are there any other entitlements that the developers would need to acquire? We'd ask for the developers to prepare a conceptual funding and financing strategy, and this is really the key. How are they going to fund the infrastructure that's necessary to construct the improvements, the water, the wastewater, the roadway improvements, etc.? Also asking them to prepare a conceptual fiscal strategy, not only the hard costs up front for the infrastructure, but ongoing costs to the county. Show us how your development scenario won't cost the county any ongoing money, or if it does, tell us how much. Finally, we'd like them to show us how they would like to partner, if possible, with the city of Patterson or the city of Newman or the town of Crow's Landing, how their development scenario reacts. And again, at this point, we're looking at a very conceptual plan from them. The timeline, we'd like to issue the request for proposals next week, October 2nd, I think, was what we were planning on, having a pre-bid meeting around October 16th, have the proposals due within 30 days. Now, 30 days isn't a lot of time to get, the level of detail down to a final stage. That's why we're thinking to have something done more to a conceptual standpoint at this point. Around November 15th is the quarterly meeting of the Crow's Landing Steering Committee. We would move on and show the committee what proposals we've received. The selection committee that we've put together at this point includes the internal development team that Keith was talking about earlier, including the CEO's office, planning, public works, DER, and county council, as well as the city of Newman, the city of Patterson representatives from the Alliance, and three representatives from the Crow's Landing Steering Committee. At that point, we have, I don't know how many proposals we're going to get back, but we'd have all of these. The internal selection committee would review those, perhaps have interviews and presentations by the top responders that we believe are the top responders. And then sometime around mid-December, December 19th or so, we'd come back to this board with our recommendation of what the top responders were. Whether that's two, whether it's five, we just don't know because we don't know what we're going to get back from this RFP. At that point, we'd be asking the board to make a determination on which one of these development scenarios or these development plans that we've seen does the board wish to have a lot more detail on. That rolls us into the second phase of the RFP, where we're probably given between 45 to 60 days to come up with a much more detailed plan, specifically the financing and the engineering designs or preliminary engineering cost estimates for what it's going to take. I mean, we're looking at interchange improvements on I-5 and Fink Road. We're looking at wastewater facilities. We're looking at water facilities. We're looking at internal and external circulation. We're looking at a lot of different infrastructure improvements. And we want to make sure that when we come back to the board at the second phase, we will be making a recommendation, and your selection committee will be making a recommendation to you on which master developer to enter into negotiations with. And we want to make sure that we have solid financial surety from the companies that we're recommending. We want to make sure that they've got the ability to do what it is that they say that they're going to do. And we're looking at coming back to the board sometime in March or April of 2007 with that final negotiation process. Yes.
This is very similar to the enterprise zone process that we just went through a few months ago, where there was a preliminary application, multiple cities and counties and entities across the state applied, and then that was gleaned to a list of those who were invited to make final applications. So,
with that, our recommendations for you this afternoon or this morning, number one would be to approve the conceptual development reuse scenario. The recommendation unanimously again from the steering committee was conceptual plan number three, to authorize us to release a request for proposals for a master developer, and then to authorize staff again to suspend the current planning and environmental work with ESA pending the master developer RFP process. And again, we would anticipate beginning that work, the environmental review work with ESA at that March or April 2007 when the board selects a master developer. With that, we're here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Kurt. Is there any questions of staff? Hearing no questions, what does the board want? Do we need a motion on this? Okay, come on. Just state your name and...
Good morning, Chairman and Board. My name is Bill Harrison. I currently live in Modesto, but I was born and raised in Patterson and have spent 30 years of my professional life serving the interests of irrigated agriculture on the west side. I'm here today to offer my comments and express my concerns regarding the reuse planning at the airbase. And in doing so, I want to make it very clear that I speak for no one but myself. I don't maintain any professional allegiance before you here today. I've been following the county's involvement in the airbase property for several years now. And I was pleased to see that a workshop and meeting was finally going to be held in Patterson on July 10th, so that the public could provide you with its input regarding the county's potential use for this property. First of all, I must say I was a little disappointed that there was no county supervisor in attendance. There were at least three members of the steering committee, and county staff was as usual, very helpful in answering questions and responding to comments. But I feel that it's important that you, the policymakers, hear directly some of the sentiments and concerns that were expressed at that meeting, at least my own. And this is in large part my purpose in addressing you here today. As I witnessed, and as was reported in the Patterson Irrigator, the general sentiment voiced at the meeting was skeptical as to the overall wisdom and potential benefit of the project. Many of those who attended the meeting were upset to learn that the decision to develop the property had already been made by the county, and that public input on the project at this point in time would be limited to comments on which of the three very similar development concepts made the most sense. The comment I heard that Ron Trulis was the one that suggested that the public should have been asked what they thought should be done with the property before a vision statement was developed. Having a project of this magnitude and potential impact on the region presented as something that's going to happen in one form or another, whether people like it or not, really stifles public input. It makes people feel powerless and disenfranchised. Since the decision had apparently already been made, staff was left to run something with a dog and pony show that appeared intended only to sell people on the project. It was clear that there were many at the meeting who just weren't buying it, me included. Despite a very clear vision statement adopted by the supervisors regarding the creation of a regional job center that provides good-paying job opportunities for county residents in the region, it is very hard, if not impossible, for me to reconcile this vision with everything the county says in public and is formally adopted by way of its general plan. For the county to proceed with this project, it will have to break its own rules in a number of various serious regards. First of all, it's the clear public position of the county to direct growth toward and outward from the incorporated areas of the county. This project, located in an unincorporated area, midway between Patterson and Newman, lies squarely in the face of this often reiterated policy position statement. Secondly, it directly involves over 1,100 acres and is in the middle of some of the county's most productive farmland. The land use policy codified in the ag element of the Santa Claus County General Plan does not allow conversion of agricultural land to urban uses unless this board makes a finding that no feasible alternative site exists in areas already designated for proposed purposes. I really don't see how the county could possibly make such a determination, especially since the city of Patterson now has over 800 acres of land designated for similar purposes, also due to the conversion of prime Westside ag land. The Salida Community Plan calls for another 2,100 acres, and there are several other smaller projects already approved, River Bluff and the Old Spring Cedar. That's almost 3,000 acres that have recently been designated by the county for industrial and business park development. Even by the county's own optimistic absorption rate of 50 to 100 acres per year, the county has enough business and industrial park inventory to last for the next 30 to 60 years. And lastly, and perhaps my greatest concern, is the fact that the proposed project is thoroughly growth-inducing. Located just close enough to Patterson and Newman, it incites visions of leapfrog development pushing down from the north and up from the south, and it doesn't take any imagination at all to see that it's close enough to the freeway to engender the development of the entire area between Marshall and Fink, Highway 33 and I-5. An area of well over 3,000 acres of highly productive farmland. It's just this type of development that spurs anti-sprawl initiatives. I hope you'll bear with me for a few more minutes. While I recognize that the general plans are subject to periodic amendment, it seems disingenuous to have the county amend its general plan for its own purposes while denying the option to private landowners. Don't get me wrong. I share the county's expressed view that agriculture, as the primary industry of the county, should be promoted and protected. But you've got to wonder if the general plan means anything at all when you live in a county that, according to the American Farmland Trust, has amended theirs more than 15 times in a 5-year period, and each time to the detriment of perfectly good farm ground. Granted that a lot of this development has taken place as a result of expanding the spheres of influences of cities. And to the extent that this is the type of growth that the county is calling for, they've been quite successful. But it does result in loss of ag land. I would also grant that some timing changes are inevitable, even desirable, but allowing it to happen too easily or too often, or worse, having the county itself make the rules then break the rules, only encourages more changes and more development pressure. Given the history of the county's apparent commitment to this project, it should also not come as a surprise to hear that development interests are already offering options to purchase much of the ag land surrounding the air facility at 10 times the ag land value. And who could blame the farmer or landowner from wishing to keep his land use options open in such a climate? Nor should it come as a surprise that the residents who showed up for the workshop were surprised and somewhat dismayed by the proposal. Despite the steering committee process, and as was made clear at the workshop, the county has failed to get local buy-in for the project before it told the public what it was going to do. In summary, I do not feel that the proposal is good planning or smart growth. Development of this property is not only to take over 1,100 acres of irreplaceable farmland out of production, it would promote unbridled growth throughout the rural area that does not currently have any supporting infrastructure, such as water, sewer, or adequate roads. The project has been labeled an unparalleled opportunity. As it currently stands, it looks and feels more like an unnecessary, uncalled for, unmitigated, growth-inducing boondoggle. All this said, I am sincerely and urgently looking and asking you to help find a way to back this train up. I'm not asking for the world to stop changing, and I certainly share your desire to make the county in general, and the west side in particular, a place where people will want to both live and work. If I were to accomplish this, I would suggest that it would be much better if the county followed its own rules, clearly stated in your general plan, to protect our cities. Protect our prime farmland by directing growth away from the unincorporated areas of the county and into the cities. This will provide a much better way to meet the challenges presented by our fast-changing county without seeing the fate of so much of our proud and ever-important agricultural heritage go away. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody would like to respond to some of that?
I would, Mr. Chairman. I chair the steering committee for the air base, and I do respect Mr. Harrison's comments. This air base, the old military air base, provides a tremendous opportunity for Stanislaus County for economic development. This base is not for residential or urban uses. It is for an industrial park, heavy industrial, which will include air, truck, and rail. There is no other place in Stanislaus County that has this type of land available. It's close to the freeway that has a rail line right next to it and has a runway to support air cargo or air traffic in the future. The steering committee has met for years. It has met before I became on this board. It continues to meet today. Everything that we have done has been out in the open. Although I regret not being able to make the meeting in Patterson on July 10th, because I represent that area. I had another meeting scheduled that I had to attend, and the staff did not tell me that they had that meeting set so I could change my schedule. But I have attended every meeting of the steering committee. The steering committee was unanimous in their last meeting to pick concept 3. This particular project is good for economic growth of the area. It reduces our unemployment rate, and it will lower our jobs to housing balance. It also has the benefit of improving the infrastructure for the little town of Crow's Landing. This is not a residential development. There's nothing here about leapfrog development. This project uses a former military facility. It's been in and out of agriculture since the 40s, and it just presents an economic opportunity for Stanislaus County and the residents of the west side in particular to provide some good paying jobs that we don't have now. Knowing the area of Patterson as well as I do, I would say that probably 25% of the residents of Patterson have to commute each day to the Bay Area to find employment. And that's because we just have not done a good job in the past, although it hasn't been a real bad job, but we have just not provided the economic growth and the job creation that we need to. Job creation takes land. And, you know, it's unfortunate that some ag land has to be taken out of production, but this is a very planned process. And I want to stress again, this is not for urban uses, as it was stated. It is for an industrial development. This is a good project. And there isn't any other place in Stanislaus County, or hardly anywhere in the valley, that has this type of opportunity where you have the close proximity to a freeway, an airstrip, and a railroad line right next to it. So I'm going to support this project. It's been a tremendous amount of work that's went into this thing, and it's time to go out for a request for proposal to see what the development companies come back to us with. We don't know until we go out for a request for proposal. We may find something that we like. We may reject all the proposals. But we are at the point now where we're ready to go out for these request proposals, and it's just time to do it.
I also am going to support Supervisor DeMartini and the staff's recommendation. I think this is, and I'll reiterate it, an unparalleled opportunity. I think Mr. Harrison chose to quote part of what our stated goals are for the future, and that we don't intend to develop residentially into the county. I have talked at length with a number of the other cities, city managers, and mayors, and they share our enthusiasm to have a job center that has this kind of an opportunity that could be a central focus and a benefit for all of the cities in the county, and they don't see this as a threat to them because of the location and the opportunities and the chances we have at partnership that would truly impact the western United States in a positive manner. I think it would be helpful for Mr. Bassett to maybe take a little time for us and talk about what kind of absorption could take place in terms of job-producing acreage if we had the properly infrastructured, shovel-ready property here that we could and don't. And he'll reconfirm this if he chooses to come up, but I believe we just did a study and looking for pieces of property that we could build on immediately, 40 acres and larger, and I think we came up with three in the entire county, most of which were a long ways away from any kind of decent transportation. All we need to do is look 4 miles to the north at the Keystone property in western Patterson, and we saw that in just, I think it was less than 3 years, we developed almost 300 acres. In terms of what sold when Longs and Coles came along looking for places. So I think the thing that's holding us up in terms of creating the appropriate job-producing areas is the fact that we don't have entitled property. I'll stop there. Thanks.
I do like to echo the comments. I do support this project, and it is because of the job creation. We're criticized very heavily for the plans in Salida because we are putting residential in there to help pay for the industrial lands. Here's an opportunity to have the industrial lands without the rooftops. This is not a residential project. This is an industrial project. And again, we have taken a stance. We don't want to. We want to direct our residential growth into the cities. And this is a prime opportunity. Supervisor Grover is correct. Other mayors, city managers, have endorsed this project. They want to see it go forward. So, and I hope Mr. Bassett will also tell us how frequently he's being contacted for opportunities for industrial land.
Could I just make one mention while Bill makes his way to the podium?
I couldn't hear you.
Just one addition while Bill makes his way to the podium. Okay. The original intent of that transfer, the federal transfer in the late 90s, had the caveat of economic development. This has been a conversation, as Supervisor DeMartini mentioned in his opener, that has transpired several political careers. The site is dedicated to economic development. That was a transfer a caveat. With regards to the growth-inducing comment, over 400 acres of the site is currently under 16 plus inches of concrete, has been since the early 1940s.
Bill?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. Thanks, Supervisor Grover, for giving me the opportunity to come up and speak to this issue. You know, relative to the opportunities that this county has in terms of economic development, job creation, I'd just like to step back for a moment and say that we've seen a massive layoff at Signature Fruit, 1,440 people. We've had 200 people laid off at Valley Fresh and 200 people over at California Fruit and Tomato. There seems to be an ebbing right now of interest in canneries and food products and so forth, which has been the lifeblood of this community for years and years and years. It's interesting to note that many, if not most, of the inquiries that we're getting relative to relocations into this community are not of that ilk. They constitute a diversity of industries, a diversity of companies that are looking to locate into this part of the country and this part of California. And the fact that we do not have shovel-ready sites is impacting our ability to locate these companies into this community. Supervisor Grover mentioned, and Supervisor DeMartini have mentioned, the Keystone Project in Patterson. Probably in the beginning, that project was not a very popular project as well because it was taking up farmland and so forth. The reality of that is that the 300 and so acres that have been developed over there in a short period of time is filling up. We currently have two more major projects that are looking for location into that particular area. There are expansions that are planned there, but even with those, there is not sufficient capacity to handle the inquiries that we're getting right now. I'd like to emphasize that there is no absence of interest in companies towards Stanislaus County. There is a keen interest in companies that are looking for location. It's not just the low cost aspect of being in Stanislaus County, because frankly our low cost is being eliminated gradually through just the price of dirt, the cost of fees, and the cost of infrastructure development. When we look at the Salida plan, I don't know whether that will ever come to fruition or not, but there are 2,000 acres that are designated for that. That's a bit more speculative at this point than what I consider Crow's Landing to be. With the wastewater discharge problems that we have with the city of Modesto and facing, and they're working to solve those problems right now, but for all intents and purposes, the Beard properties are not available for a wide variety of industries, especially those that require any kind of significant wastewater discharge. And as a result, we have very, very little to offer at this particular time in the way of sites. Crow's Landing presents a tremendous opportunity for us to continue a road toward a diversity of our industry, a diversity of our kinds of jobs that we would be offering here in this community. When I came here 4 years ago, it was very clear to me that there was an absence of quality building sites for industrial and office purposes. That fact has only exacerbated itself today in that we have far less than we did then. And so in terms of an economic development initiative, the Crow's Landing couldn't be a more welcome project for us as we try and work on that jobs to housing balance. The county spent some $500,000 to put together a economic development strategy about 5 years ago. The ESI company was hired from Phoenix to come in. HCD provided the grant money for that through the county, and a strategy was developed. We've worked that strategy. We've seen the unemployment rate go down to 6.9%. When was the last time we saw that rate around here? So we've made significant progress in spite of the difficulties that we've had with citing certain types of companies. But I don't think anybody at that time anticipated the meteoric growth that we were experiencing on the population side that caused our jobs to housing balance. The whole genesis for the idea, the genesis of the strategic development was to come up with a plan to address the jobs to housing balance, and in fact we're losing ground on that. And we're losing ground because we're not able to cite industrial and business properties into this county because we don't have them. Again, I would emphasize that we have interest. We have companies that are standing in line ready to come in. In a short period of time from some, I think, February through April, we turned down four companies, quality employees. A couple of them were Fortune 500 companies that we could not locate into this community because we don't have sites. So I would urge you, from our perspective, on an economic development, workforce development perspective, to move with all haste to get the Crow's Landing site ready for the kind of development that this county deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. On every project we talked about, including Salida, and even within the county, we've talked about everything has a string tied to it. If we had sites for industry, there was always a string tied to it that we would always have so many houses. Again, so many houses. Every project we've talked about in this county is always, well, I need 2,000 homes to make it work. I need 1,000 homes to make it work. Everything has been tied to, I need this and I need that. Okay. I'm going to support this today, but I'm not going to support one house out there. This is economic development, this is industry for land. But if we start talking about houses, I'm not going to support it one bit. Quite truthfully, if there has to be, when we get into this site in Crow's Landing, there has to be a way to get in, and there has to be a way to get out. Now, if we're going to take and develop this land industry, then somebody's going to have to pay for how you get into that site and how you get out of it. Most of the time we've done this in the past is that when the development's taking place, nobody's ever talked about what roads are you going to build, when you're going to build them, how are they going to get there, who's going to pay for them. I think it's time now that if we're going to develop industry in this county, that before the industry starts, there's going to have to be some money put up before the roads, for the infrastructure, and everything we're talking about. Because I'm not going to support, for the short time that I'm going to be here, I'm not going to support one more thing that doesn't have money tied to how you're going to get in, how you're going to get out, and could, and they keep talking about all the development in the county, and they keep talking about the development and move all everything to the cities. Where does anybody think the cities get this land? They come to LAFCO and they say, I need another 100 acres. I need another 200 acres. I need this. I need that. Land comes from the county, goes to the cities. So when the cities say, well, we're stymied, okay? But at some point, the cities are going to start looking too. They're going to have to start looking at what can we do to build, fill our space up inside. We've got county islands all over this place. Nobody wants to talk about them. We got the South Modesto. We got the airport district. We got them in Turlock. We have islands all over this place. This county has got to start talking about what can we do to make these cities whole, okay, and not just continue to expand. It's easy to expand, but it's hard to fill in the parts that need to be filled in. I will support this today, but if anybody in this board talks about one house out there, I'm going to pull back any support. I'm going to be vocal as hell about this, okay? Excuse my language, but that's the way I feel.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, with that, I believe this is one of the most important projects, probably the most important project we have going at the time. And I'll make the motion to accept the staff recommendations and move forward with the request for proposal.
Second.
It's been moved to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much, staff.
Thank you.
With that, we go down to correspondence.
This board has received letters from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Small Business Administration granting disaster designations to several primary counties, including Stanislaus County and their contiguous counties, due to agricultural losses caused by a record-setting heat wave that occurred July 1 through 31st, 2006.
Refer this to the Agriculture Commissioner and Cedar Waste and Majors and the Chief Executive's Office and the Office of Emergency Services.
Brookburn has received a 60-day notice from the State of California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation regarding their consideration to lease parole office space at 1300 Rockefeller Drive in Ceres.
Refer this to the Chief Executive's Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of the claims, refer to the Chief Executive's Office, Risk Management Division. Is there any board of supervisors have any reports? Are you getting the chance? Okay. Seeing none, is there any legislative, fiscal, and management report for the Chief Executive Office?
Yes, this morning I do have a requested action item respecting Air Resources Board meeting coming up in the near future. Additionally, I have one other comment that I would like to make. At its December 8, 2005 public hearing, the Air Resources Board approved the adoption of sections 2022 and 22.2.1 of Title 13 of the California Code of Regulations. The approved regulation is a diesel particulate control measure that's intended to reduce public exposure to diesel particulate matter emissions from on-road heavy-duty diesel-fueled vehicles owned and operated by public agencies or public utilities by requiring the installation of new control measures. Stanislaus County operates in excess of 35 on-road heavy-duty diesel-fueled vehicles. The estimated cost to install the control measures based on recent public works quotes ranges from $10,000 to $20,000 per vehicle, establishing the county's financial exposure for our vehicles at between $350,000 and $700,000. We do remain strongly supportive of regulations that result in reduced diesel particulate matter emissions and have been very proactive in the purchase of compressed natural gas vehicles to replace our diesel fleet. We believe, however, that the approved regulations unfairly target public agencies and utilities and will result in a reallocation of scarce county resources to meet this new unfunded requirement. I want to emphasize that the new rules affecting local agencies are already in place. What we're asking you today is to allow us to respond to prospective opportunities to have input on these issues affecting Stanislaus County. This morning I'm requesting that the board take action to approve the proposed letter to the Air Resources Board. Additionally, with that authorization would be implicit approval for our legislative representative, Don Peterson, to appear at the September 28th hearing to express the county's concerns with this new unfunded mandate. Even though the September 28th hearing does not specifically address the mandate, we believe it's important to express our concern with the rulemaking process itself. We believe public agencies and public utilities should not be singled out in enforcement efforts.
Then you need a motion for this?
Yes. Just a quick comment, Mr. Chairman. I had the opportunity to attend the San Joaquin Valley Air District meeting, and at that meeting it was passed that school buses in the Fayette County area are going to have to comply with stricter rules on air emissions, similar to what the ARB has done to us. The big difference is with the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Board, they offered money. They have money to grant the school districts in order to make these actually the replacement vehicles, replacement buses. If the state would do that and give us grant money to make the repairs, it would be great. We're all after cleaner air. But here it's an unfunded mandate, something that Prop 1A was supposed to take care of. No more unfunded mandates from Sacramento. I'll make a motion if you're looking for it, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I am. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Anything else? Yes, I do have one other item. Beginning next week, you will have appearing before you county department heads and priority groups who outline to the board the progress that we've made in addressing board priorities, goals, and performance measures. I will be absent from the board meeting at the during the first presentation, which will happen on October 3rd, and I just wanted to let you know that I do believe that you are going to see some very positive results with the outcomes that we have been able to achieve and that we're going to share with you beginning next week are going to, I think, reinforce the success of your priority program.
If you're going to be absent, who's going to give us this?
The department heads are going to be presenting the information.
Well, each department head will be given his?
Each priority groups are made up of a number of department heads and key departmental staff.
Okay.
The presentations will be in a similar fashion to that which was presented to you at the retreat that we did about 6 months ago. This time we want to do it in public session, however.
Okay. It's not going to take quite as long, is it?
No, we're doing either one or two presentations per week rather than all.
Okay. I thought you were going to hit us all at once. And there's no way.
No, next week we only have one presentation.
Oh, the one presentation?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to do it to us?
Ag.
Ag's going to do it to us. Okay. I look forward to that then. And I thought for a minute you were going to give us a whole shebang.
No, we're not going to tie up your entire.
Oh, no. Don't tie me up that much right now. Okay. Nothing else on the board? Okay. We're adjourned.